Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
In this podcast, I'd like to make a case for project-oriented photography, which of course is what we do in Lenswork. We tend to publish projects rather than single images or what I sometimes call greatest hits or trophy images. And of course, those kinds of images dominate what happens in fine art photography. We all make them. To produce a single stunning image that you can mat and frame and display on the wall is a high watermark in photography. And it's a great sense of success when we accomplish that. And my observation is that many, many photographers, maybe some of you listening to this, devote yourself exclusively to that kind of fine art photography. You pursue that spectacular image that ends up being displayed on the wall somewhere. And in this podcast where I'm trying to make a case for an alternative for project photography, I don't mean to diminish the idea of the single image on display. That's the kind of image that first got me involved in photography and sustained me through decades of photography, because every time I see a really gorgeous, spectacular single image, it's a great moment. It's a great acknowledgement that someone has accomplished something technologically challenging, visually stimulating, and that they've found something out in the world that's truly worth spending some time looking at. So I love single images, don't get me wrong. But there are elements of the single image that are different when you start thinking in terms of project-oriented photography. Now, just a little tiny bit of history. In my photographic career, I was all about the single image, making the great image. Because, like so many in my generation, I was inspired by the great Carmel area photographers, Ansel Adams, Wynn Bullock, etc. And all of those photographers pursued the single image. And for all intents and purposes, the only exception to that was a book. If someone was doing a book, the book usually had a theme, and there was a whole lot of images that had to do with that theme, and so they held together as a project. But a book is a very substantial thing, not only in terms of the number of images, usually on the low side, maybe 80 images, on the high side, maybe 150 to 250, sometimes even 300 images. Those are gigantic projects. And the cost of producing a book is simply out of reach for most individuals. So if you can't afford to produce a book and you can't find a publisher to produce your book and fund it for you, what are you left with? If you're a photographer, you're left with single images. So that's what most of us pursued. And that's what most of the master photographers seemed also to pursue. Single images that sometimes grew into a book, but very little in between. Until, that is, I ran across a book called The Portfolios of Ansel Adams. And he's the one who first introduced me to this idea of the potential of a project. Now, not all of his portfolios, unfortunately, are unified projects. There are some of them that are sort of a gathering of greatest hits. But going through his book, The Portfolios of Ansel Adams, there were several of his portfolios that were unified projects where he was definitely exploring a theme, a place, an idea with a dozen plus or minus images, and held together not in the binding of a commercially printed book, but rather in a clamshell box that definitely indicated that these images are intended to be seen as a unit. And he had title pages, and he had colophon pages, and introductory, and sometimes poetry or a little text or something that added text to the image that expanded our relationship with what he was presenting. Unfortunately, lots of these portfolios were broken apart because the public, people who maybe purchased his portfolios, kept thinking of them in terms of individual images, and I've seen lots and lots and lots of images from his portfolios offered for sale or on display in galleries or whatnot as individual images. But that's not how he intended them when he put them together in a clamshell box and called them a portfolio. His seed with his projects was the launching pad for me thinking about projects that I could do with my photography. And the first ones that I did were simply copying Ansel Adams' portfolio presentations by buying clamshell boxes from Light Impressions or University Products or somebody like that, and putting a cluster of images into the portfolio and calling it a thing. But I think that's a fairly primitive way of thinking about projects, because there's so much more to projects that I've discovered as I've continued to work in that as a medium of presentation, that I think I can make a case for project-oriented photography by examining just a few of these issues that come up when you start thinking that way, the first of which is the element of luck. The single image, matted and framed and hanging on the wall that everybody oohs and ahs over and is a great image, can, truth be told, be nothing more than luck. That you happen to be at the right place at the right time with the right light and the right lens and the right camera and maybe even a lucky exposure with the right kind of camera, the right kind of film, the right kind of processing, and you get a fabulous, fantastic image, not through skill and craft and execution, but literally through the element of luck. And let's be honest, we all have images like that, where we just happen to be at the right place at the right time with the right setup, and click, we got the shot. And everybody oohs and ahs over it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think the element of luck, which isn't a part of any other art medium that you can think of, like painting or dancing or poetry or novel writing or music, all of those require skill and relentless pursuit of excellence. But photography does have a certain place for the lucky shot, but not in a project. You can't do a lucky project. So once you engage projects and say, that's the kind of work that I want to do, part of what happens is you let go of luck. It's no longer a part of the strategy that you can utilize because you can't get lucky putting together a 10-image project. And I think that's actually good because it challenges us in a more substantial way than luck does. Essentially, that challenge is one of finding the essence of whatever it is we're trying to say, which could be a place or an idea or a mood or a kind of light or a subject. But finding the essence of what we want to say is critically important, and you're not going to find that by luck. Finding the essence of a project is likely going to be the result of hard work, perseverance, continued exploration, talent and skill, and maybe a little luck thrown in. But that's likely to happen on an image here and there, not a 5, 10, 15, 25 image project. So a case for project photography is that it pushes us beyond our own limitations. It challenges us to find something more substantial than the lucky shot or the random photograph. When you put together a project, the important part of the project is how the images are all combined, how they all relate to one another, how a person can look at the images in a project and develop a deeper understanding of what it is that you're trying to do as a photographer. So in essence, project photography pushes us beyond the clichés and encourages us to explore more deeply and to find the content that's beyond the lucky image or the random collection. This is where photography gets, I think, a bit more difficult, a bit more challenging, and it's why so many photographers, I believe, don't pursue project-oriented photography, because it's hard, because it challenges us, because thinking in terms of projects almost forces us to go beyond simplistic thinking and quick snap shooting. We've all had the experience when we're out photographing that we stumble upon a great subject with beautiful light and everything seems to be falling in place, and you can jump out of the car and make two or three or four images pretty quickly that are going to be great. But if you want to have a 10-image project, you now have to go beyond the four easy ones. And that's where the artistic challenge comes in, and why I think photography is such a wonderful pursuit, because it does present us with a challenge to figure out how to go beyond the easy ones. So let's say you've done that. You've managed to put together a group of images, and there's some sort of visual or contextual thread that holds them together as a project. The next thing that a project needs, matter of fact, it almost has to have by definition in order to be a project, is you have to have a title. As far as I know, there's never been a book that didn't have a title, or a song, or a symphony, or, as far as that goes, a photographic portfolio. And that also is a challenge because it brings us visual photographers face to face with the challenge of having to have words. And we're not necessarily good word people. We're visual people. That's what makes us photographers. And so that's a challenge to figure out how to title our project in a way that makes not only sense, but that makes the project more accessible to the viewer. Titles are not easy. Well, that's not quite accurate. They can be easy. What they are is not intuitive, at least to us who are visual people. We have to work hard to get titles. But when you have a title, it not only ties all the images together in a project, it helps the viewer understand what you're trying to get at. And along with titles, another aspect of assembling a project so that it holds together as a unified artistic expression is the project aesthetics. When we do that single image that goes on the wall, every aesthetic decision that we make is based on that image shining its best. And all the decisions we make about dodging and burning and cropping and this and that and the other thing are all based on the demands of that single image to really look its best. When you start working in projects, however, the project aesthetic determines how the images are going to be prepared. And sometimes that means some of those images don't look as good as they might if they were presented as single images on the wall. So developing a project aesthetic is an entire process in and of itself. Is it going to be high key, low key, all color, all black and white, all toned? Is it going to have a mechanical feel with the appropriate typography that's mechanically oriented? Or is it going to be lyrical or natural or one of a thousand different ways you could present the aesthetic of the project? I've talked about this at greater length elsewhere, but I'll just mention it here that in my early days of photography, there was a lot of conversation about each photographer finding a style for their work. I think that's primitive thinking. I think it's not important that you find a style for your work or for your career that represents you as a photographer, but rather we need to have a style or an aesthetic, if you will, for every project that we do. And finding the appropriate project aesthetic probably means developing multiple project aesthetics and then deciding which one is best. That means processing the images differently, doing the layout and design differently, the typography, the title pages, etc. Project aesthetics are an incredibly important part of any project that is not something that's generally a part of the single image that goes on the wall. It can be a standalone image with its own kind of framing and mat board and etc., and right next to it may be one that's entirely different. But with a project, you have to find an aesthetic that serves the project as well as all the images. Sometimes that can make for some very interesting editorial decisions. All of which leads to another critical area that might make project photography a little bit intimidating for some people, and that is we need to go beyond the photographic craft for the presentation of our project and maybe engage other crafts that we don't have any skill at yet, like typography, like paper, like color design, like layout, like handmade artist books. We have to push ourselves beyond f-stops and shutter speeds and all the photographic skill and craft that we've developed just to be able to make an individual image, and expand our craft tool set, if you will, to things that are necessary for a project. The closest I can think of to that kind of work in single image photography is what I see in photographers who decide to do their own framing. And maybe they put in a woodworking shop in their garage or something so they can make all kinds of different frames with different aesthetics. That's establishing a craft that goes beyond photographic craft. But the same kind of thing happens if you're doing handmade artist books or chapbooks or, as far as that goes, digital presentations. The craft of making a PDF is not a photographic skill that we generally develop when we're learning photography, but can be an incredibly important skill if you choose to share your work digitally through the internet, for example. So single image photography is a wonderful thing. It's a great way to get started, but it's not the only option. There is a case to be made for project-oriented photography and the way it challenges us beyond the individual image, beyond the presentation of the individual image, and into some of these areas that will really test our skills and our perseverance, typography and layout and design, etc. I think it's perfectly valid for a photographer who does single images to say, that's all I want to do. That's my life in photography, is developing the best single images, one at a time, that can stand on their own and have a tremendous wow factor. That's great. If that's all you want to do, then that's what you should do. But that's not the limit of how far we can push our photography and push ourselves to create something that is aesthetically and artistically more interesting and more challenging. And that's where project-oriented photography really comes into its own. It's a step beyond photographic craft, but it can assist photographs in living in a much different kind of world, in which the photographs are not judged based on photographic excellence, but rather on depth of perception, artistic integrity, and presentation skills that go beyond the classical photographic craft. This is one of the reasons why we've focused for 32 years now in LensWork on project-oriented photography. It is an incredibly challenging and rewarding way to engage the photographic life, and one that allows photographers a lot more creativity and flexibility in the presentation of not just their images, but also their ideas, observations, and revelations.
Copyright 2025, LensWork Publishing.